This episode is brought to you in part by Zondervan, publisher of Create a Life You Love, How to Quiet Outside Voices So You Can Finally Hear Your Own. Written and narrated by Stephanie Mae Wilson and is available everywhere audiobooks are sold.
You're listening to episode 115.
Ooh, excuse the mess.
Of the In-Between podcast, where you'll discover ideas to build a strong, connected, and joy-filled marriage and family. My name is Daniel M.
And I'm Christina M. Well, I don't know how your season is, where you are at, but right now as we podcast, we are in full-on sweaters and jeans because guess what? Happy fall, y'all! It has happened!
Happy fall, y'all. Yeah. There should be like one of those nice... what do you call them?
Those boards?
Yeah, the boards. Yes, it's happy fall, y'all.
We do have one.
Oh, we do? That says that? Okay, that's probably why it sounds so awesome.
I love it. The letterboard.
Yes.
We have one.
Yes, exactly.
What a great idea. Yeah. Thanks, honey.
Put myself in the back. Yeah.
And look at that. Already done. I put your thoughts into action.
Oh, so funny. All right, so what does this have to do with anything? I've lost my train of thought.
We're starting a sign business?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, no.
No, we're not. We're actually on this episode, we're going to be interviewing Maequilyn Smith. She is also known online as The Nester. And we're going to be talking to her about practicing hospitality in every season, even during this COVID season, because I don't know about y'all, but we've had to make a few changes, right? In the way that we share our home, in the way that we even share food, and even in the way that we decorate our homes, because honestly, sometimes I feel like, am I decorating for me? Am I decorating for people who are coming to our house? But if no one's coming to our house, should I even be decorating? You can only have so many pumpkins, right?
Yeah, that's so true.
So that's what Maequilyn is going to help us kind of tease through.
I love that. So for the past 12 years, Maequilyn Smith has encouraged women to embrace their homes, imperfections and all. She's a self-taught design school dropout who took a week-long course so she could be a certified home stager and redesigner. Her and her family have lived in 13 different houses, apartments, and condos and spent plenty of time getting real-world design experience.
That's how we kind of feel, right?
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. All right, so without further ado, let's listen in.
Well, Maequilyn, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. We are thrilled to have you here today.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here, guys.
So I wanted to let you know a little story. I came across your name probably maybe about 5 or 6 years ago. We had just moved to Nashville and a family friend had come up to visit us and she took a look around our house and she was like, oh, goodness, you remind me of the author of The Nesting Place. And I was like, what? I've never heard of Maequilyn before. And then I looked you up. And oh my goodness, I did not realize what like a blessing that was to be able to be even remotely in the same sphere as you in terms of decorating our home. So we want to talk to you today about how we can practice hospitality in every season. And I love this because it really goes along with your newest book called Welcome Home. And you've done something wonderful in terms of it's such a beautiful book, but it's also broken into the four seasons. So can you let us know how is this book, Welcome Home, different than your previous two books?
Oh, well, thanks for asking. I think every book comes out of like a big frustration, like a big problem. Oh, I've been real stupid with this. So then I guess a little smarter and then I write a book about it. So Welcome Home is really my answer to myself about how do I decorate for the seasons without going overboard, like a crazy person, like I used to do, and feeling like I had a part-time job to like pack away stuff at the end of fall or at the end of spring or whatever it was. I really wanted to honor the season in my home, but I didn't want to have a part-time job, storing holiday decor in my attic all year round. And so that's really kind of where that book is. So it's all about seasonal decorating and hosting, and they really go hand in hand. Before that, I wrote a book called Cozy Minimalist Home. And so the subtitle for that is More Style, Less Stuff. That I'm in love with minimalism. I think it's amazing. And I could never be a minimalist also.
That's awesome.
it's like fascinating, you know, but I find that I'm sitting reading minimalist blogs on my daybed with three throw pillows and a cozy fur and my cat and, like, you know, way too many things. Isn't it? Like, I think a lot of us relate to a world that honors minimalism, honors the intentionality, because I really like the idea of everything having a purpose that we have. I just like to have more things with purpose in my house. Like, I want it to make sure it feels cozy. I want throw pillows. I want a rug on the floor. I want drapes, but I also want to be responsible. I don't want to waste stuff. I don't want to have more things that I need. I don't want to live in clutter. And so that book takes you step by step through everything that goes in a room and really, like, how to decorate step by step, making informed decisions in the right order. And then before that, I wrote a book called Nesting Place, tagline, "It doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful." So that's for anyone who lives in imperfect circumstances, which is all of us.
especially now, right?
Oh, right. I know it. So just how to kind of get along with our house when our house isn't our dream house. And newsflash, no one's living in their dream house.
Mm-hmm. Well, even if they thought it was their dream house, they're probably sick of their dream house now. They're like, get me out, bro. Yeah.
So true. Yeah.
So that's great. That's great. So as we are in the middle of transitioning from summer to fall at the time of the recording, we'd love to hear how you start to transition your home from one season to the next, even if the weather doesn't feel fallish.
Don't you just put pumpkins everywhere, right? And then call it a day?
Yeah, they melt away in Nashville. So.
It's a great question. I love that you asked about transitions. I think it's not like the sexy design world word everyone wants to talk about, like, oh, how many pumpkins should I have? But there is something about those transitions. Like, when we look to nature, that's what's happening right now. No matter where you live, like, different things are always happening outside. And so I like to look to, well, how is God decorating? You know, what's going on in my own backyard? And how can I bring that in and honor that in my house? And so the very first step as you transition, so, like, right now, it's August when we're recording this. So we're kind of transitioning out of summer, even though it's still the same temperature that it was 3 months ago. Right. But I find that when I am reliant on the temperature to allow me to decorate, that means I'm, like, fully 100% wanting the visual decor. And, you know, having a layered seasonal home is so much more than just the visual decor. And that's kind of what I've had to learn over time. Because when I just rely on the visual, it fills my house up with stuff. But as we're moving from fall or from summer into fall, first of all, I'm just walking through my house and kind of looking at anything we don't need any longer from kind of our summer life. So even though the summer temperatures aren't over, our summer life is kind of coming to an end. We're not going to the pool as much. My kids have gone to college. Like, we need the activities in our home to be different. And so I just kind of walk through the room and find things that we're no longer using, and I put them away. So editing out is kind of the first, just a quiet little step. And it just kind of simplifies everything. And I do that no matter what the season, at the end of winter, at the end of spring, like, what are we no longer using based on the activities that we're doing in our home?
Oh, okay. So are you talking about, like, we always like to talk about the nitty gritty on our podcast. Are you talking about, like, putting away the pool noodles or?
Exactly.
Okay. I totally get that.
Yeah, putting away the pool noodles. And so, like, when my kids were younger and at home, this would be like, okay, now we're going and sharpening all the pencils and we're putting them in a pencil holder on the homework table. I would move a table into my living room that was, like, the homework. We homeschooled for a couple of years. And then even when we didn't, you know, the kids like to, they'd much rather do their homework in the middle of the living room than up in their room. And so we'd have a big surface, just a Kmart table in our living room. And so just preparing that, it would move from in the summer. That table would be like the Lego and puzzle table and the cat lane table. And then as fall happened, as they're going back to school. My schedule's filling up. It was more like we had our little planners on it and we had our school supplies on it and things like that. So just thinking about the real activities, the actual things that you're going to be doing in that room mm-hmm. usually are different in August and September than they were in the summer and building around that. So really starting with that. And that's what home is. It's there to foster our activities. And of course, I want it to be beautiful as well. But if you don't start with the function, then you just have something pretty that you're going to trip over.
Yeah, exactly. The amount of times I've had to clear things off the stairs, even though it's so pretty, like going up the stairs, I'm like, my kids are just going to kick it down. So yes. We just got to get rid of it.
Yeah, you cannot listen. I know we've all seen that picture with the pumpkins down the stairs. Yes. That was just there. That's staged. Those pumpkins did not exactly. live there.
That's right. One picture and you're back out. Very true. Yeah. Well, Michael, and I love how you're saying that we are decorating for looks as well as functionality. And with the pandemic happening and resources being really tight this year, hope maybe even next year, we really appreciate your philosophy of you say to shop your own home. Can you tell us a little bit of what that means? And what does that look like as you're walking around? Like, I'm in this room with 5 pillows. I don't know what to do with that. So you can let us, like, how can we recreate with what we have already in our own homes?
Oh, it's so fun. A lot of times our home can be the first place that we should actually shop. And so, you know, whether you just need a change because you need a visual difference in your home life or in your room, or sometimes you just need a function change, like, okay, we're going to be homeschooling or I'm going to be working from home. So maybe I need a desk, maybe I need a different chair, whatever it is. The best place to start is in your own house, in your own garage, in your own basement, in your attic, in your yard. And so what you will do is just kind of walk around and try to have fresh eyes and think about the items that you already have. Are they being put to their best possible use? Could they possibly work somewhere else? So I know in our house, and we've moved 14 times. So that kind of forces you to shop in your own house. You know, we've moved way too many times. But it gave me great practice because the dresser that I originally bought for my kids as a changing table dresser is now in my living room with a lamp on it. It looks real pretty. It's been in our bathroom holding towels. It's been actually in our kitchen with the coffee maker on it. And so seeing how one item can serve different purposes is such a fun way to get like the most use out of an item. If sometimes we're just visually tired, like we just want to change, but we don't want to have to go buy something new. Just switching up, you know, the shelf in the bedroom or maybe the wingback chairs from our dining room. Maybe we put them in the living room next to the fireplace. Just moving things around sometimes can jumpstart our creativity and solve a problem that we thought maybe buying something new was the only answer to.
This episode is brought to you in part by Beyond Ordinary Women Ministries, which prepares Christian women for leadership. At BOW, we believe that every woman is a leader because she influences someone. So, whom do you influence? Do you mentor a woman? Serve in the workplace? Or do you lead a small group, teach the Bible, or even lead an entire ministry? No matter who or how many you influence, our free online resources will help equip you. Our videos, podcast episodes, and articles from experienced women leaders will encourage you and perfect your leadership skills. They offer wisdom for dealing with ministry pitfalls, current biblical issues, health for your own soul, and insights for shepherding others well. In addition, BOW offers Bible studies designed to connect women of multiple generations. They provide a challenge to both women new to the Bible and those wanting to dig deeper. Be our guest and browse all of our free resources and low-cost Bible studies at beyondordinarywomen.org.
I love that. One thing that stops me from doing that, Michael, and I don't know if you've ever felt like this, I feel like sometimes if I move something and I don't like it, that I've done something wrong. And then I might forget where it was supposed to go that I liked it. Do you ever struggle with that? Is that a mentality that I need to get over?
Yes, it's a mentality that you need to get over, but it's also very common. So here's the thing. Take a picture of where you love it. But also know that, if we want changes in our home, then we have to make changes. And if we cannot trust ourselves to try out and take a very low, low risk, is there any lower risk than moving a piece of furniture that we already have? It can always go right back where it was. So if we cannot take a risk in our home and even let our kids see us taking a risk, then how do we take a risk and, you know, try out for the job in another state or buy a different house or start a new business? Like, risk taking is such a good skill to hone. And I think things like that start at home, things like that start with our children seeing us taking those risks. So I believe that making a nail hole in the wall is a wonderful way to start risk taking practice. To move the chair from the dining room to the living room, if you hate it, what are you out? You sweated and pitted out a shirt, and now you can burn some more calories and move it back. No one ever has to know. You don't have to tell the world. Your mother-in-law didn't have to come over and make a comment about it. You get to do it in the privacy of your own home. And I think it's so great for our kids to see us say, oh, I don't really like that there. Oh, well, I'll just move it back and like laugh it off. It is such a good practice and habit for, even if no one's watching us, even just for ourselves, you know, that's how we learn. And maybe you do learn that, you know what, I don't like that chair there because it's too big or because it's really dark. And that, what that does is that informs what you actually need. So then you can go on Facebook Marketplace or to the furniture store and say, I'm actually going to need a really comfortable chair or a low chair or something that leans back or something this size. So using what we have first can be so helpful, even in just narrowing down our decision-making process.
I love that. I love how you've taken our conversation and really from the practicalities and really moved it into character development too, and the nitty gritty. And, you know, for Christina and I, as followers of Christ, I mean, one of the things the Bible talks about is it is practicing the one another's and being hospitable. And that's a huge part of our marriage and even in our vows of how that is such a high value for us. So let's take a turn and talk about that. Talk about hospitality. What does hospitality mean to you, Michaelyn?
Well, sometimes I say hospitality is grace with throw pillows.
That's awesome.
Doesn't that sound pretty? But yeah, hospitality, when it comes down to it, to me, is just about connection. It's not about the house. It's not about the host. It's about connecting with others, whatever that looks like in different times of my life. That's looked differently. Different times in my life, I've needed different types of hospitality. I've been able to offer different types of hospitality. And even, I'm an introvert, and I know a lot of people are, about half the world. And so you don't have to be an extrovert to want to host or want to have people over. But I do think it takes a little bit of being in tune with your personality and honoring how you were created. There's no shame in that. Like, I think if you grew up with maybe a parent who hosted every Sunday after church or had people over every weekend, there can be this sense that if you're not doing that and if your personality can't stand or can't maybe hold up to that, that you're doing it wrong. And I believe that we were all created within our personality, and there's a way to be hospitable that honors all of our personalities.
Right. So give us a little bit of an example. You said that you're an introvert. How do you see yourself hosting as an introvert versus maybe a family member or someone else, that you have a friend that you've seen is extroverted? Oh, where's the difference of that?
Sure. Well, my husband's an extrovert, so he wouldn't be totally at home, fine, and actually thrilled if he came home and there were always extra people here. He is so life-giving to him to have other humans around. He loves it. He loves people. He finds so much joy in them. And as an introvert, I love people too. I find joy in people. But it's not life-giving. It's life-draining to me. It's exhausting. But I still love it. And so being aware of our differences there means we plan ahead. So maybe say this weekend, if we were having someone over, then I would know that means the nights leading up to Friday night that I need to kind of have some quiet. Like, I can't be using up all my energy, or else I won't have it to spend on the people that I want to connect with. And if I don't have the energy to connect with those people, I might as well not even have them over, because that is the whole point. So he and I are on the same page with why hospitality is important, and that is to connect with people and to honor them and to be in a place where we can listen. And if I have used up all those energy resources, then I'm not in a place that I can listen. And he understands that. So he totally honors my personality and makes sure with me that I don't spend that the week before. Otherwise, we'll have to cancel, which we have had to do before because I have spent it. And then we know that it would be worse to have people over and not be able to truly listen to them. I think we've probably all experienced that in different ways, whether whichever end we were on, you know, just going ahead and going through. I don't want to cancel, but listen, it's okay to cancel, especially when if someone's coming over and you feel like you're going to be frantic or not be able to truly be in a place where you can connect with them. It is so much better to cancel. So we are very free with that, but we also know how to plan ahead. And so I know that I have to be in a place where I'm not frantic. I'm not crazy. I'm not like totally preoccupied with my house and cooking and stirring and not burning. And so that means I don't cook as many foods from scratch, even though I love cooking foods from scratch, because it will take my energy. And I want to use my energy to sit and talk and truly listen.
Right. Okay. Tell me a little bit more about you not cooking from scratch, like all the things, because that's one thing before the pandemic when we were hosting quite a bit where I figured out, I'm like, oh, if I make, let's say, the main meal, I'm going to buy dessert or ask the people who are coming over to bring dessert over. So that's one less thing that I have to do. Okay. So tell me what you do. I want to hear, you know, all the things about that.
Well, I really, really enjoy cooking. Nothing makes me happier than cooking for a crowd. I am in my happy place to cook for a crowd. I just love it. I don't like making desserts because I don't like to measure things, but I like to cook actual But that being said, I have found if I go too big on my having to pay attention to everything, then the stirring, then the bread that I'm home making, then if everything is from scratch, it takes too much attention away from my guests. So I have this rule where I allow myself to make two things homemade and everything else is either store-bought or others brought. So that might mean I'm picking up, you know, stuff from Zoe's Kitchen. Maybe I'll get kebabs from Zoe's Kitchen, but I'll make the yummy salad dressing and the croutons. And then I let myself make one other thing as an honor. Like, it just honors my guests. It honors my own time. And I've never regretted it. I've always at the end been like, woo, I'm so glad I didn't try to like have things in the oven on top of the stove and preparing beforehand and doing a charcuterie board. Like, that's fun. But it, again, especially if you know your own energy level, and that for me is really, I love it so much that I could spend all my time focusing on that and then not have anything left for my.
Right. Yeah. I love that, how you're really talking about knowing yourself, and that's how you can honor yourself, your family, but also your guests. Are there any other sort of rules that you have for yourself, or just even guidelines for yourself to be able to really host others in the way that you want to?
Well, another thing that I've learned is, it's really easy to think about like, okay, I know myself and like pay attention to myself and I'm going to honor how I made. And so I want to be ready for a guest. And then it's also very common to think about your guests. Okay, well, they're gluten free, or their youngest just started preschool. So I'm going to make sure I'm going to ask them about that. But I think a person that sometimes is easy to forget about are the other members of our household. And we have a very high introvert son. And I could tell if I did not kind of help him, especially when he was younger, prepare for people coming over, especially when there were kids his age, if I didn't pre-warn him like, hey, there's going to be three kids your age, they're going to be up in your room, so you might want to put your Lego whatever up high, or you might want to spend some alone time, you know, for the next hour or so, just to kind of prep for that. Or if we're having people, like if you have people spend the whole weekend, and you have introverted kids, to allow them to have some time to themselves and not have to be on the whole weekend. And so that means that he could go down and play the piano for an hour. And I'm not going to walk down there and say, hey, you got to get up there with our guests. You need to go hang out with it. Like, no, he is allowed to be his own personality. You know, obviously I want him to say hello and respect our guests and hang out, but I want to allow room for him to re-energize in the same way that I've allowed myself to do that as well.
Yeah.
All for the purpose of being a great host.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, I know all of us are thinking, I thought COVID-19 was supposed to be over by now.
Yeah.
So we're going into fall, another season. I think spring, summer, and now fall of this global pandemic. So we'd just to finish off this episode, we'd love to know if there's anything that's changed in the way that you approach hosting due to the pandemic.
Oh, there sure has. I mean, we're not having groups of people in our house right now. And we are used to having lots of people over. We have people over a lot, just for random things, helping us with a project on the weekend or what have you. We have been really enjoying the impromptu text of just friends that live close saying, hey, you guys want to come over tonight for drinks outside in the backyard? And that has been such a great way to connect with people. It's very low expectation. So when you're not planning a get together 2 weeks in advance, all expectations go out the door. So all they expect is a drink. You mentioned that it's outside, so they come dressed accordingly. I just have to have a toilet clean. We're outside hanging out, and it's been so nice. Usually I'll have like a list of 3 or 4 people that live close by, because usually the first person, you know, they might have something else they're doing. And so we'll just kind of work down that list and see who can come, and we'll make, do a cocktail or have a popsicle and a Prosecco or whatever it is, and enjoy just hanging out together outside. It's been such a fun way, like a no pressure, no planning, really enjoyable way to get together with people.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Michael Lynn, for your time. And we wish you the best on your book launch. And we'll put a link to your book, all your books and everything in our show notes. But for those of our listeners who would love to connect with you and dig a little bit deeper, where's the best place for them to find you online?
Well, I give daily encouragement on Instagram. It's one of my favorite places to hang out because it's so visual. So you can follow me at The Nester, and all kinds of information at thenester.com. Once we have events, we'd love for everyone to come to our house. And we have lots of fun learning about home opportunities. So I would love to see anyone there as well.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael Lynn, for joining us and really just inspiring us and remembering, and for us remembering that we don't have to spend a ton of money to be able to decorate our homes, and also what true hospitality means, especially during this COVID season. And I know as this episode drops, you may be starting to think about how you're going to celebrate Halloween and what that means for you and your family, as well as perhaps your neighbors, your friends, and your community. I really love what Michael Lynn has talked about and is really starting to give us ideas about how we can be hospitable and also COVID friendly, right? We need to remember that, but also to be able to be open and encouraging and even friendly to our neighbors and the kids in our neighborhood.
Love it. Awesome. Well, you know what? On episode 116 next week, we are going to be talking about 3 things you can do when you can't make a decision. And if you're anything like us, it almost seems like there are thousands and thousands of decisions to make.
Right.
Small,
right there.
Big, super important.
Should we celebrate Halloween? Should we not?
Exactly.
Do I ring doorbells with a finger or a popsicle stick? What do I do?
That's right. So I know next week is going to be super helpful and fun as well. So make sure you're subscribed if you haven't yet done so that the episode drops right into your podcasting app. All right, we'll catch you next time.